I didn't say I own a house. I said I owned a house. I used to own a house. Oh, that was back in the 80s, 86, 87. Now, you want to know how much it cost? It's kind of embarrassing. Well, no, actually, I'm proud of it. Yeah, my house, the only house I will ever own, I don't own it anymore. It cost $27,000 for a house. That's right. It was a bit of a fix-me-up deal. No, I didn't fix it up, that's for sure. Yeah, my father-in-law then was the ace in the hole, man. He fixed everything for me. And I would help. I would hold his ladder. I would hand him his tools. I would bring him lemonade. Yes, I was very helpful to him. And I will never own another house again. And I've been delivered of that home and that house. Glad of it. I paid it off in like 15 years. Yeah, my payments were extremely low, as you can imagine. I don't know. Well, that's maybe $200 a month or something. So I lived on the cheap, and I still do, and I don't own anything. I barely own a car. I own a 1999 Ford Contour. It's sitting in my sister's garage right now in Canton, Ohio. I have not driven a car in months, and I don't care to. It'd be fine if I never drove one or never owned a car. That'd be fine. So I'm traveling through life loose and light, you see. Well, not loose. I won't say. I'm traveling light is what I want to say. So we're going to talk about redemption versus deliverance. Now, you needed a redeemer to free you from your responsibilities. He could let you off, the redeemer could, before the Jubilee, when everything is delivered. Creation is coming into a huge Jubilee. All creation is going to be liberated from the bondage of corruption, as we read a couple weeks ago in Romans chapter 8. But if you have a redeemer, then you can buy back early what has been mortgaged, set aside for you. And this is what Jesus Christ does for us. Our deliverance does not wait until the consummation of the eons, or doesn't wait until the opening of the seven sealed scroll either, because we have a privilege that others don't have. And it's nothing to our credit. It's that our Redeemer has bought us back for him. And we have an aeonian redemption. That is, we come into our life early, contrasting again our life against those delivered in the book of the unveiling. It's great when you look at the unveiling and you see this scroll is going to deliver creation from its agony, from its posturing. And they're going to be freed from that. And you think that's great. And then you realize, well, we get in before that. We don't even have to make fools of ourselves necessarily at the airport with a samurai sword. So we have an aeonian redemption. And we enter into the enjoyment of an allotment. Very particular wording. An allotment. Do you know that you have an allotment? You have a piece of land. The general population, no, they don't have an allotment, right? They're going to be delivered by force, but they don't have anything. Well, they're going to have life for eternity with God, so I guess I can't call that nothing, but we have a portion, we have property, we have a tenancy that is given us by God, and he's bought it for us. And he's redeemed us, and we're going to be also delivered. That's the basic process there. God buys, he redeems us, he's bought us, but he hasn't claimed us yet, but he's going to at the redemption. And then for humanity, he's bought them in a more broad way, bought the field to get the treasure. We're the treasure, but he bought the whole field. And then he shed his blood for them, so in a sense they're redeemed, but they're not delivered yet, and they don't even come to a knowledge of their redemption. So it's happy sad. It's really, it's happy sad. It's happy that he bought the whole world. It's sad that they don't come into an early redemption of it, but we do. And of course the King James obliterates all distinction between redemption and deliverance. They have translated these words by the same word, even though it's two Greek words. The redemption is a loosening, and the deliverance is a from loosening. It's got a Greek prefix in there, the Greek prefix for from, which I don't know what that is right now. It doesn't matter. Now, the Aeonian redemption could be illustrated by Zechariah, who said this in Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, seeing that he visits and makes a redemption for his people. He buys them ahead of time and rouses a horn of salvation for us. And same thing with the prophetess Anna, who saw Jesus at the temple at his dedication and spoke concerning him to everyone who was anticipating redemption in Jerusalem. That's her wording there, Luke 2:38, to everyone anticipating redemption. So we anticipate a redemption. Paul says of the nations that we have a prior expectation in Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 1. We have a prior expectation. So this is good. Now, the seven sealed scroll does not deal with this. It does not deal with our Aeonian expectation. Otherwise, that seal would have been opened long ago and everybody would be flapping around heaven enjoying themselves. No, this is not a scene of redemption, okay? That's why I'm making this differentiation for you. It's a scene of deliverance. It's a scene of force. I want to read this verse to you again. If we talked about it before, but it fits in the context here. In Ephesians 1:14, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment to the deliverance of that which has been procured for the Lord of his glory. The deliverance of that which has been procured. So redemption, here's two things I want you to remember about redemption and deliverance. Redemption is past. It's past for us, and it's also past for the world. I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians 5 here. One died for the sake of all, consequently all died. And we're talking about the world here. So the world, in that sense, has been redeemed, but they are not given the knowledge of their redemption. And they go their way, they die, they raise at the great white throne, and then they are delivered after the second death, some of them before the second death, if their names are written in the book of life. There's a deliverance. It's not a salvation by faith, it's a salvation by force. So let's put it this way. Redemption is past, deliverance is future, even for us. Our redemption is past, Christ redeemed us at the cross. There's a lot of confusion here. If I was redeemed, why do I die? If I was redeemed at the cross, if I was saved, then why am I still walking around in this humiliating body? And why am I not floating? Why am I subject to gravity? Why am I hungry, tired, all these things? Because you haven't been delivered yet. You've been signed and sealed, but not delivered. And the world can say the same thing. And in a way, it's more frustrating for you because you know of the redemption. And now you have the, well, joy, I should say. I want to say that. I try to come up with that joy of anticipating. And I guess it's true. My God, it is true. If I think about this now, if I did not have a knowledge of my redemption and an anticipation of my deliverance, I think life would be intolerable. I think that I'm sad. I think life is difficult, but I think it would be even more difficult without a knowledge that there is a happy ending to this and that deliverance, your deliverance is nigh. Oh, Jesus said that too. Lift up your head, for your deliverance is nigh. He said that in Luke 21:28. At the beginning of these occurrences, unbend, that is, Jesus is prophesying all the things that are going to happen in the last days. And he says, at the beginning of these things, lift up your heads because your deliverance is drawing near. So he's contrasting that with their redemption. They were already redeemed. They were already chosen by him to be his friends, but their deliverance was going to be drawing nigh. And that's when God will forcefully change our bodies. God's going to forcefully change our bodies. He did something voluntarily for us. He came to this earth to deliver us, and now he's going to voluntarily change our body. He's going to deliver them. So I want you to still see the analogy as we go back to the unveiling of what's going to happen to the earth, because the earth has been redeemed. However, the earth is unknowing of it. God has not given the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, cognizance of their gifts, and so of the treasure that they are to him, and so he's going to forcefully take them. In our case, the deliverance is a pleasant thing. the deliverance is the snatching away, the transformation of our body of humiliation for the world. In the book of the unveiling, the deliverance comes via great traumatic events, birth pangs, terrible trials. But so be it. If that's what he wants, then that's what's going to happen. So redemption is past, deliverance is future. You have been redeemed, chosen beforehand by God to come to a realization of the truth of your salvation. Because of that, you now have what the world does not have. That is an expectation of glory. And that is what is sustaining you, my friends. And I say this to myself as I say it to you. I really don't think about this enough, that the deliverance, the promise of deliverance, sustains me. And I only know of it because I've been given the knowledge of my redemption. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Redeemer. And we're going to talk about more of our advantage over the world, because I'm all for that. Because to me, I don't know if you're like this, the world seems to have every advantage over me. I see people flying high. I see people prospering. The Joel Osteen people, whatever, and the world's people. And it seems to me that I'm way behind the curveball. I'm not as smart as other people. I don't have the financial wherewithal, as I anguished over yesterday to you. And so the tables are going to be turned. And any advantage, any spiritual advantage I can have, whether it's in knowledge, and really it's all only knowledge. I say only knowledge, but knowledge is important. Knowledge is saving you right now. I'm going to give myself this advice as I give it to you. Don't disparage this knowledge we're coming to. Don't think it is just information so that you can be smarter than everybody else, or that you can have a working knowledge of the Bible. No, these things we're learning are real. They're a real help for you, because without knowing what you're coming into, you will despair. And many of you might have killed yourselves by now, and I would not be sitting here in front of this computer. It is the last analysis. It is my faith in what God promised me, the faith that he gave me. I know it's a gift, but I have it. He gave it to me to allow me to grasp on to these promises he made of my deliverance. And folks, lift up your heads, because it is nigh.